I really want to do an opening this morning. I've got so many ideas. Of like, I woke up with my head burning. You know, it was like early morning podcast. I'm ready to roll. I'm
dude,
like,
dude, slow down.
Come on,
man. It's way too early. I'm so tired right now. It's too early for any sort of opening.
So you don't want to do an opening?
No, man. I'm too tired.
This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about technology, entertainment,
and random foodstuffs.
We're your hosts.
I'm Scott Gold.
I'm Jamie Dooner.
And this is episode number
55.
Good morning, everybody. See, that was my morning podcast, Good Morning. I wanted to ease into it. I wasn't doing like the whole boisterous, good morning, you know.
You don't really do that anyway. We have NPR voices this morning.
We totally do. And on this segment, we're going to be discussing the mating habits of the
North American warbler. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into that, time for our annual pledge drive. That's the worst.
That is the worst. Oh, man.
As soon as the pledge drive week hits, I'm just like, man. And it always happens to coincide with the exact week where I'm sort of like obsessively listening to NPR every morning.
Oh, yeah. And they're brilliant about it, too, by the way. Because like I'll listen. And I'm like, all right, I feel them getting into the show. And then it will be 10 more minutes.
They need to be like that every day.
To like
keep you hooked. When they're not pledging.
Right. They're very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever pledged? Have you ever given money?
I haven't recently, but I have. In the past.
Did you get a tote bag?
No, I think I got like a shirt or something.
I got CDs once.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's when cool. CDs used to be a thing.
Right. They still give CDs.
I'm sure. I get CDs now because I do the music thing. I get all kinds of CDs in the mail.
I'm surprised they don't just like
send a digital download
or just a link to streaming or something, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, all right, well, let's dig into this. The past like couple weeks, been a lot of swirlings, but one of the huge big news things was the appointment of the new Yahoo CEO.
If you haven't seen a picture of her, she looks sort of like a lemur or
dude, she's very pretty.
Yeah, she's very pretty, but she also looks very surprised.
Well, in that photo. We are looking at a photo where she looks like a
her eyes
birding.
Are staring into my soul. They are burning a hole. I don't know. Is she looking at me? Is she looking through me?
Ooh. So Melissa Mayer, she former employee, one of the first employees of Google, actually, back in the day. 37 years old. She's now the new CEO of Yahoo. Huge deal.
Wow, that's depressing.
That she is our age. Yeah. And she is the CEO of one of the largest tech companies in the world. Yeah. But she was one of the first 20 employees of Google back in the day.
Wow.
She is a very wealthy woman. Let's put it that way.
No wonder her eyes look so crazy. She's been counting so much money.
That's funny.
Or staring at a computer screen for way too long.
For her whole life. But yeah. It's a big deal because like she's one of those, you know, tech rock stars, you know, like one of those people in the tech world that everyone knows.
Like Skrillex?
Yes, like the Skrillex of Melissa Mayer is the Skrillex of the tech world. Dude, that was the first press conference. So she's coming on board with a huge compensation package. I mean,
she's got a huge package.
She has a huge package of $70 million coming her way.
She also's got a huge package because she's pregnant.
This is true. Also a big deal. Like huge, you know, female CEO is pregnant. I don't know. I mean, I think it speaks a lot about the world in a good way.
Well, about the United States.
Or the Western world,
right. Maybe.
Or California, really. Or Silicon Valley.
We were talking last night a little bit about like gender equality and pay. And I don't know, it's sort of in the U.S., I think it's sort of a post-feminist world now where I think it's really...
In a lot of the U.S., everywhere.
But for the most part, in big corporations, it's pretty
fair. Fortune 500 world.
Yeah, it's changed a lot in the past 10 years.
Oh, yeah, totally.
20 years, 50 years, you know, but...
currently.
The rest of the world is not there.
No, not even close.
But
some places, but not... Yeah.
Anyway, send your emails to Scott Gold.
Hey, Dave, what are you doing?
Whoops.
That's getting beeped.
Beep.
I'm telling you
at
right
AOL.
Now.
AOL.com. That's what
go.
I meant.
There you go. That is 100% getting beeped.
Sorry. Tech Bacon. That's what I meant.
Jeez, man. Giving out my personal like,
and
email
his phone
address.
Number is.
Wow. Just happens in the morning. I got to watch Dooner this morning.
I can't help it. I'm unfiltered.
Jamie Dooner, unfiltered. Every Tuesday morning.
He is what I think.
she had some, you know, she gave a press conference and, you know, she was quoted. She's like, I couldn't be, her quote was, I couldn't be more excited to be here.
Do it in her voice. Do it in her voice. Go.
I couldn't be more excited to be here. but she said, like one of the thing, one of the cool things I thought she
is
said,
it weird that she went from Google to Yahoo?
Well, Yahoo to Google. I mean, Google to Yahoo.
Yeah.
No, because well, what happened was recently she had kind of she was one of their head people, and she recently had been put in charge of the location division, so maps and Google Maps and all that stuff, which people kind of saw as not really a demotion, but she wasn't really in the forefront of the company anymore.
Right.
So. It makes sense that she would leave, and you know if you're gonna leave,
right?
It's like you and Yahoo's been a weird company as of late. I remember the ex CEO lied on his resume that
oh, yeah.
that was Yahoo.
Yeah,
you know, so she does have her credentials. I mean, she is probably one of the smartest people I would say in Silicon Valley. You know, and. It's just, I think it's a big, bold move for a company like Yahoo that's just been struggling. Because if they didn't do something like this, it's crazy, but they could have gone away. There could have been no Yahoo, I think. I think it's still a distinct possibility. I mean, she's not the savior, but she could.
Yeah. I mean, what else does it do besides be a search engine?
Well, they have their Yahoo News.
Their music thing, but that has, isn't that kind of like.
Yeah, that's Kaputs. Not their news.
Do they really call people Yahooligans?
They do. They do.
That's annoying. Can I say something important about this article that we're reading? Wait, go back up.
Yes.
You know, is this interesting? Sure. Much more interesting, the related stories on the side. Asteroid to fly by Earth this weekend and dramatic hunting leopard caught on camera.
You know, that's what you know, foxnews.com, they got all the cool stories.
Hey, dramatic hunting leopard caught on camera. I want to see that.
Hey, dude, I want to see that. We may have to click over to that. No, Yahoo does. They have Yahoo News is a big division.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know, true.
And Yahoo Mail. Is still a big deal these days, but it's
every news story anyone reads on Facebook is always Yahoo.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have Yahoo as my home. I think they have the opportunity to like
your really, Yahoo is your homepage.
Uh huh.
Okay.
It is. Yeah, and that's how I mean, I have my news. You know,
so Scott Gold at Yahoo.com?
No. Another bleep because I actually do have that email address.
That's going to, you're going to bleep the whole segment. You're just going to have to cut that one out. Because we're talking about Yahoo.
Well, I'm going to bleep the whole wording of that sentence. It is not easy to bleep on here, Jamie D. I'm just letting you know.
Well,
will you stop it? You're horrible.
Okay, I'll try not to do it anymore.
You bastard. Anyway, I mean, I'm curious to see what happens with Yahoo. They're kind of, you know, they have big campuses out here in California, in Santa Monica.
Uh-huh.
They have their main offices in San Francisco. They have their Yahoo News offices in New York. So from what people are speculating, they're going to kind of, it's possible the ones down here in Southern California might be absorbed up north. You know, and they'll close because down here is where they have all the media. Like they've been trying to get into media,
yeah,
and doing original content.
Oh yeah,
Yahoo
yeah,
video and all that stuff.
There's is that Bryan Singer thing on Yahoo?
That was YouTube.
Oh,
that was Google.
Oh, that Burning Love thing's on Yahoo.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, so they've been trying to do that, but uh-huh. Also one of the biggest things in what she has going for her is that she knows. First of all, the technology, but she also knows the ad technology from Google.
Ah, and there.
Like, I mean, it's not like she's going to bring over proprietary software or anything, but she has the information. Like, she knows, she helped build it. She helped grow that company to what it is today. So, you know, I think if Yahoo could have done anything, this was the right thing to do. Like this was the good thing to do. So so that was big news on that front. Another huge thing last week was the introduction of Microsoft Office 2013 beta, or consumer preview.
Have you messed around with it?
Within 30 seconds of the announcement,
of course,
I had it installed and ready to go.
And
so I have some thoughts.
It's designed more for sort of interactive capabilities, correct?
It is. It has a lot of touch-centric features.
Yeah.
A lot of things with PowerPoint where you can control it on your tablet but see something different on your screen. You know, like those
like
kind
Minority
of,
Report?
Yeah, I mean, kind of.
Like you're writing a Minority Report?
Like you're writing a Minority Report. But bum. No.
I don't know.
But it's... here's what I find interesting about it. It's a nice upgrade to the Office suite. I mean, you know, Outlook, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, they've all been really standard tools in all our daily lives for as long as I can remember.
No.
You know, and they did a good update. It's really nice. I like how it looks. One of the crazy things, and I meant to show you it when you walked in, but you weren't here. And I didn't take out my computer.
I walked in and I wasn't here.
Walked in and you weren't here.
What does that
you
even
aren't,
mean?
This is robot Jamie. You aren't here.
Uh-oh. I have been found.
So here I'm going to try to describe this to you, but it's almost impossible. It's hard to describe.
Uh-huh.
So when you're writing in Word or typing an email, the way the words flow as you type looks like it looks like it does in a movie when it's fake. You know how like it just looks real smooth as it goes across the screen, as if a human's not typing it? Like as it's been programmed in and it just like glides across the screen?
Right.
That's what it's like when you type now. Like they've changed the flow of the typing and it's just this really smooth, it's very peaceful. It's
weird.
Like, I love it, actually. Like cool. I've actually loved typing. It's the smallest little feature, but I love it. It's really cool. But a couple of the the bigger features are they're integrating it with their SkyDrive service, which is like the cloud service,
right?
Like Google Drive and all that stuff. So like it's defaulted. So when you start a new Word doc, it's automatically saving it in the cloud.
Right.
As you start typing it, when you hit save, it's saved on your machine and on the cloud. You can then go on the website, pick it back up in the Word web app, or anywhere else you sign into your account on like a Windows 8 machine or Windows. You can actually sign into your Windows Live account in Microsoft Office.
Okay.
So it automatically connects up. Really cool. Like nice features. You know, a lot of stuff's cosmetic upgrades and things like that. Outlook has a really neat feature, which I can't get to work, but this is still beta. But so, you know how you have like preview panes in your email?
Uh-huh.
So you have the emails here and then the preview of it on the right or below. So on this, if you want to reply, you're supposed to just be able to click, you hit reply and it doesn't open a new window, but the preview pane turns into the reply window, and you just start typing above it.
Huh.
Yeah, but I can't get it to work. I can't for the life of me. I found the option. I know how to do it. I can't get it to work at all, which is really odd. You know, the PowerPoint, all the stuff has like the touch-centric features and all those things.
Yeah.
Anyone can download it. It's you know, a free preview right now. You go to the Office 2013 preview page, and you know, I'll put a link.
When's it come out?
Nobody knows. Odds are it's going to be like October. You know, when Windows 8 comes out, it'll probably launch simultaneously, is my guess. I mean, it seems pretty finished. It's really good. What was also cool is they have, and they started it with the last Office but never went full forward. Basically, they have a streaming version of the program.
Yeah.
So when I installed it, it was a little installer. I installed it. It was on my computer within a minute.
Yeah.
And it was ready to use.
Huh.
As it installed on my machine.
Weird.
So it's basically like you subscribe to it.
Okay.
And then they can push updates to you. They can like you're constantly subscribing to the service and you don't have to, you're not like buying a new one every time, you're paying the subscription fee.
Interesting.
It's very interesting.
Huh.
But it was cool how fast it installed. I mean, it was really like within a minute I had the apps on my computer and they could go, and you saw in the bottom right corner, it's like, you can use while it's installing.
That's sort of becoming a standard kind of thing, right? So that you really can't copy software.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, and
Apple's doing that too, right?
Well, I don't know. Have they done that?
I feel like they're moving towards that.
Yeah. I mean, I could... Yeah, actually, well, they are kind of with the App Store and stuff like
that.
You're right. They totally are. And I think, I mean, to be honest with you...
I mean, as soon as Apple releases that word processor, you know, Office is out of business.
You know, I heard it's going to be called Pages.
Oh, man.
Have you ever used Pages?
On my iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like using text edit.
Right. It's so basic.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like that text edit.
But you know what I mean.
No, I do.
It's like in the Stone Age.
Yes. The biggest thing that bothered me, though, about this Office 2013. So they've designed this Windows 8, right? They have that whole Metro screen as your start screen, and then they have that desktop view for older stuff, right? Uh-huh. So you would think they're going this whole Metro style. They come out with Office 13.
What does Metro style mean?
Remember that homepage I showed you where all the tiles with the live tiles?
Oh, yeah.
That's called Metro.
Okay.
The Metro-like screen. I don't know why. Maybe because it's like a city or something?
I don't understand.
I don't know. Me neither. But this runs exclusively in the desktop mode.
So what's the point of having Metro?
I'm so shocked. Like, I just don't understand. I don't understand.
It makes no sense because this is their bread and butter.
Right. Right. You would think they would want to fully integrate it with that side of Windows.
Yeah.
So it just makes me think they're confused.
Right.
Like, they don't know what they want. Like, you
I'm telling you, 10 years, Microsoft's just going to be Office and Kinect. And there's going to be no Windows anymore.
There might be something new. I mean,
yeah.
Google Chrome OS might take off. Who knows? The new version's kind of nice, actually. I don't know. I mean, I wonder. I think I have a feeling, and I don't know if I should make a prediction, but I have a feeling.
Tell us, so wise one.
I've got a feeling.
What is that?
It was a really bad Black Eyed Peas beginning.
Oh, man. That is unacceptable. Here on Tech Bacon, we despise the Black Eyed Peas, except for Scott. Scott likes them.
Those views are only expressed by Jamie Dooner and not Scott.
And everyone else that listens to this podcast.
I don't know about that.
I would say, okay, you're right. I would say 98% of the people that listen to this podcast, unless they're drunk at a wedding,
we'll have to do a
despise
pool.
Despise the Black Eyed Peas.
I'm going to put a poll on our Facebook page.
No.
Do you like or not like the Black Eyed Peas?
Embarrassment. Well, you might as well put up a link to frickin' Carly Rae Jensen's Call
Me
Maybe.
And a link to Carly Rae Jensen's Call Me Maybe, because I like that song.
I hate it.
I know. I like it. I can't help it. I can't help it. I don't know.
Is it catchy? Yes. Do they play it too much? Absolutely.
Well, yeah, of course, but, you know. So?
I was forced to purchase it on my iPhone. Forced.
You were forced?
Yes.
Someone took your hand?
I had managed. Here's the thing. I had managed.
By your wife?
I'll tell you in a second. I had managed all summer to avoid even hearing that song. I had read about it, and I'm someone who's really into music and listens to everything.
Yeah, this is your job.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to hear this song. 14-year-old girl pop song. I know I'm not going to like it conceptually. I'll probably know it's catchy, whatever, but I'm not going to, you know, there's YouTube videos popping up of people singing it. I'm like, I'm not going to hear it. I never heard it on the radio once.
You never heard it?
Never heard it.
Wow.
And I managed to avoid it. And then we had a 4th of July thing at our house. And
did the kids want it?
And our friend's daughter, Olivia, who is 8 years old, was like, can you please play Call Me Maybe? And I was like, I don't have
Couldn't
it,
you just
Olivia.
Play it on Spotify?
Please just blah, 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 blah.
So you bought it.
Yeah, so I bought it. That was the fastest way to do it. So now I
And
have,
you hate it?
I mean, I don't really hate it. I don't really hate it. That's a strong word. I just have no real feeling about it.
It's just a poppy fun song.
Yeah, it's totally fine. It's totally is it going to be a song that is it a one hit wonder? Absolutely.
Maybe.
Is it? Yeah, it is. Come on, dude.
But it's kind of a cool story. I mean, it just came out of nowhere. It wasn't like a huge label thing, you know.
No, it's fine. It's great. I have no hatred for it. Well, I do. I have hatred for the repetition, the amount of times it is played and people freak out about it.
But it took a while to get to that point. It's been around for a little while, that song already.
Yeah.
Actually.
I know. I've been avoiding it for half of a year.
I think it broke out like summertime, you know, people just, well, it kind of exploded.
Well, it's a summertime song.
Right. So, well, Jamie, we'll have to have you record a, I want a spoken word version of Call Me Maybe by Jamie Dooner.
No.
On YouTube.
Call Me Jamie.
Yes. Sung by Lincoln the dog. So anyway, it, you know, August 2013. I don't even know how we got into that from August 2013.
I don't either.
But it, yeah, it just, it's weird that it's not part of the whole Metro experience. It doesn't make any sense to me. Oh, we were just talking about how
every time you say Metro, I think metrosexual. And I think of like a dude with a faux hawk from 4 years ago.
That's really funny. Was that, is that what makes you think of metrosexual as a faux hawk? Oh yeah, the faux hawk.
Yeah, because like when it first, people first started saying it, dudes had faux hawks.
You kind of did the,
I had a little faux hawk.
You did a little faux hawk,
but that was back, a long time ago. That was like 2004.
Yeah, that was a while ago. You did. You definitely did.
I never wore an Ed Hardy shirt.
Me neither. Me neither. I did have something that slightly resembled one, but it wasn't. It was because it had a Fleur de Lis, but it was also, it was a New Orleans kind of shirt. It had this, like, remember that white
shirt with the bowl? Sounds like an excuse.
It was not Ed Hardy. It was not Ed Hardy.
It was Ed Hardley. It was a knockoff.
Yes, it was only $2. It was,
it's funny now to see old ladies in like Ed Hardy gear.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Is the store still there on Melrose? That huge Ed Hardy
store?
Why
are you asking me?
I don't know. I'm just curious if you saw it driving by.
I have no idea.
I mean, I just always thought it was funny that there was this massive store for Ed Hardy gear.
Yeah.
Weird. Weird. So if you feel like Office 2013, it's on the web. Check it out. It's fun, free, and interesting. iPhone rumors abound. New iPhone 5 coming soon, you know, word is this fall. A couple of the biggest rumors are, dun, 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 new dock connector.
Oh, no way. That is crazy.
I think
a new dock connector?
I think it was, well, actually, you think
about it. That's a really boring rumor.
But it's like a billion dollar business, devices that use the dock to connect to the iPhone. An iPad, you know, like, and that changes all of those, right? No, don't you have a lot of them?
What do you mean?
All
are
the
we talking about the same thing?
Yeah, the connector at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's all these devices that were built around connecting to that.
Correct.
Like,
so
speakers,
they're changing the shape of it.
It's going to be smaller.
That's ridiculous. That's bullshit.
Well, because apparently the phone's going to be a lot thinner, and so they have to change the components. Now, this is just rumors, but I think I think Wall Street Journal or something confirmed the dock thing. So,
I guess if it's specifically for the device, as long as it still has a USB thing on the other end, it doesn't really matter.
Well, and they also said that Apple will, and they would be stupid not to, will release an adapter for the adapter.
Right. That makes sense.
Know,
yeah,
but you know, there's got to be change at a certain point. So
no,
yes, Jamie, yes. But I mean, I would like, you probably have a bunch of devices that use that, right? For the car, speakers at home, things like that.
Yeah. Yes, I have many.
Yeah. So I mean, that's good. I think it's going to affect a lot of businesses, a lot of people.
I still think someone needs to come up with the perfect sort of home, just thing to charge it, to keep it nicely.
What do you like? What,
like, I like, I don't know, like, I'm sure it exists, I just don't know where, like, where you, like, a little thing, like, you know, like one of those little like
things,
dude, containers where there's, you keep your change in it, you keep your wallet in it, you put your iPhone in it to charge.
Don't they have that?
I don't, like those little bedside valets. Yeah, I wouldn't call it that, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Oh, you mean a bedside valet? Oh. I've got my valet.
Mortimer.
Get my iPhone.
I don't know why his name is Mortimer.
I don't know, but that's really funny.
He's really old.
I want to hire somebody named Mortimer, just because. Well, should be interesting. iPhone, let me ask you, iPhone 5, would you purchase an iPhone 5? James,
if they came out recently, like October, got a 4S,
so probably not.
But I didn't really.
Maybe next year or something.
I haven't even set it up yet.
Oh. Oh, you have one at home, but you haven't used
it? Yeah.
Oh.
Got through the show, kind of, a, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't set it up yet, but.
Good deal.
So, right now, no. But it depends on.
Maybe you should sell the iPhone 4S and.
Yeah, I mean, when. Wait. Like, what. I got to see what else is.
Right.
What
I have to say, me, Mr. Android man, I am tempted, depending on the phone, to go iPhone 5 when it comes out.
Say what?
I'm just saying it has crept into my mind that I may want the iPhone.
Ladies
5.
And gentlemen, breaking news.
However, I was also informed that HTC is coming out with a new slider phone for Android, and I love the slider phones. So.
Because they're like little tiny hamburgers?
Yes. No. I love the keyboard, man. I just love it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Not that I would like to try to live with a phone without a keyboard. I'm sure it would be fine. But I just have some affinity towards the slide out like that. So the other thing iPhone related is there was a new Martin Scorsese commercial that came out for Siri.
Mm-hmm.
Fun little commercial.
Yeah.
That was the good. Best one of all of them.
Yeah.
Like, I think of the...
You don't like the Zooey Deschanel?
I really don't.
No, I don't either.
And I don't like the Sam Jackson
I don't
one.
Like that she's in that one that she's just like, I can't leave my house to get soup. Like, what the hell else am I going to do today?
I almost just spit-tanked coffee.
It's raining. Don't want to leave the house because I'm a Los Angeles
girl
wimp. I almost used another word, but I didn't want you to have to
leave. Thank you. Thank you very
and,
much. I might just beep it
I
anyway.
I eat soup. Who the hell eats soup in Los Angeles?
I eat soup, Jamie.
How often? Come on.
Every now and then.
Every now and then, exactly. Does Zooey Deschanel really eat soup that often that
maybe
she knows?
Maybe she only eats
that
soup,
she
Jamie.
Knows
maybe she's on a
that
soup
she
only
she knows exactly where to call to get soup.
I know where to call to get soup.
A deli.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the local deli.
I just think... I don't know.
Well, the Scorsese commercial was fun, though. Like, it was Scorsese being Scorsese. That's what I liked about it. Like,
yeah, yeah, it was funny.
Like, he was... What was that? With the part where he was looking for a friend of his? He was like...
He, like, looks in another cab, and he's like, is that Rick? And then he's like, Siri, where's Rick? And it shows the GPS of where Rick is.
That's
not
Rick. It was... I think of all those commercials, it's the only one where I felt like the person was being themselves.
Yeah.
The other ones felt so forced and fake.
I don't think I've seen the Sam Jackson one.
Oh, it's terrible.
Is it?
He's like, cancel golf and put up flowers and make a romantic evening at home. And it's like this really weird, I don't know. I didn't, it's strange. It's strange along the lines of the Zooey Deschanel one. I just not,
right.
Did not enjoy it. I did not enjoy it. Along the lines of other commercials, we have the Nexus 7 first tablet commercial that came out.
Uh-huh.
You did not enjoy.
Well, the whole thing, I mean, like, at the end, okay.
Set it's up the all, commercial.
It's a father and son camping.
Oh.
And they and he has his tablet with him, the father, and he keeps using it while they're camping. So it's like the kid, the first time I think you see it is the kid's like looking through binoculars and the father is like holding up
a dinosaur.
A thing. It's like Jurassic Park. And like right. The kid thinks he sees a dinosaur through his binoculars.
Cute.
Cute, but not realistic. You'd have to know exactly where to stand.
Right.
And they're trying to sell me something that's real. So be realistic.
They're trying to sell you magic.
They're trying
gaming.
To sell me the features. Like,
But then they showed...
Does it have a feature where any binocular that looks at it will automatically focus into...
I hope that would be an amazing feature.
Yeah, that would be. But...
Well, then they show regardless. Him, like, using the compass.
Yeah, they use the compass. They use the GPS.
They're showing a movie.
I understand that. But then the movie, the book, like, the whole point of camping is to unplug, is it not?
It is.
Why are you watching a movie?
They're meshing.
Camping?
They're meshing.
Tell a story. Them. Tell a story around the fire. Go old school. Be a caveman. That's what you're supposed to do when you camp.
But the whole twist of the commercial is that they're actually...
They're in their backyard.
Which is cute.
Yeah, it's cute. But they live in a forest. If you watch the rest of the commercial, it's not like they're just like in a fenced off backyard.
They live in a forest.
They do. Like, they're like hiking and stuff.
They're mountain people.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, okay, that's great. It's really, they camped next to home. Maybe what I got from it is that the dude had a terrible fight with his wife.
I think along the lines of all the goober.
He had to sleep. She said, no, you can't even sleep on the couch. You're sleeping outside. And he's like,
I'm taking the kid.
All right. I'm going to bring the iPad. Oh, not iPad. Nexus, whatever. Ooh. It's called. and I'm bringing, I have the sun for the night.
Right. Keeping me company.
Yeah.
It's interesting, along the lines of all the Google commercials that have come out, I think definitely the weakest. Like, they do some really good, fun commercials with Google and Chrome and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, Google usually is great.
Yeah, so this is a little cheesy. On the weak side for
it's
that.
Cheesy.
Yeah, cheesy. But also, quick news about the Nexus 7. So there are two models, the 8 gig and the 16 gig. 16 gig sold out already. Crazy.
Wow.
That's actually crazy. That's huge demand. Like, uh-huh. That thing is sold out. I think it's possible this is going to be a huge seller. And, you know, that leads to other rumors that Apple's going to be releasing an iPad mini. You know, people are talking about that possibility. And that Amazon's going to be releasing a bunch of new tablets, like a new Kindle, a new 10-inch Kindle. I think this, I don't know, it feels like, just with all this stuff coming, that the tablet kind of war is upon us.
The tablet war is upon us.
Breaking news! Tablet war rages in my apartment.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, but like, I like
that there's more tablets and people are more interested in them because it will make them better.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm getting the feeling with the tablets that I've kind of stopped getting for the phones. Like, it feels like the innovation on the phones is in a standstill. Like, there's nothing groundbreaking or that new with the phones that are coming out. They're cool, but this, all of a sudden, it seems like there's this fury over that.
Right.
You know, and I think that is just going to make them better and better, and I think that's awesome. You know, for a while, I thought it was people only wanted iPads. It wasn't tablets that they wanted. They wanted iPads. But now I'm getting the feeling that it's more encompassing, and people want these different things. Microsoft has the Surface coming out, and there's an iPad Mini, and the Amazon Kindle, and the Nexus.
Tablets will never go away, and here is why. Because little kids use them.
Yeah, and they'll grow up on them.
Yeah.
Good point.
Little kids,
yeah, that first generation.
How often do you see a little kid walk up to a television and try to press it?
I have not seen
happen?
That yet.
You see it all the time. Kids walk up to the TV
amazing.
To touch it, to try to move things or make things happen.
I have not seen that yet.
Yeah.
Oh, that. I mean, I believe it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's wild. Interesting.
No, Scott, you don't have a touch television.
Damn it. I thought maybe.
I don't like the idea of a television with a touch screen.
No, but I do like, just I like being able to touch the air and have it control the
but
I'll, television.
I'll, yeah, I don't mind a tablet that controls the television.
And if I was sitting on my couch and I can just go in midair
he's,
and just like...
Scott is currently moving his finger around. His middle finger he just moved around.
Pointed at Jamie. We'll see what is to come. I think my next tablet purchase, odds are I will buy one of those Microsoft Surface tablets. I have a feeling.
Cool.
So we'll see. I don't know. Or I may just buy a couple of these new ones that come out, play with them, and return them.
Yeah.
so I can review them.
Right.
All right. Well, I mean, that's the big tech stuff. In the world of music that we live in, anything new, fun, exciting?
Oh, there's this... What?
No, were you going to go into music or were you going to something else?
No.
We forgot to talk about that app that you told me about. I just realized.
Oh, there's this.
Before
neat,
we head into.
There's this neat app. It's neat. Called Solar. Solar.
With a little O.
With a little O. But you don't have to type that in when you search for it.
No, but that's.
I think it's.
That was a cool logo.
I don't know if it's. Because it's like a degree symbol.
Right. Oh, that's. Yeah. I mean, it was a good logo.
It's a weather. It's a weather app. And you know it knows where you are, like all the apps do, and
it knows where I am.
It's really a very pretty weather app. It has sort of like two colors that meld together. The top one gives you sort of like the weather, and the bottom one gives you the temperature. It kind of looks like a Rothko painting.
Oh, nice!
Like that's what it reminds me of. And so, for example, right now it is 64 degrees in Los Angeles and overcast. So the bottom of the page is like, you know, it's a yellowish. That's the weather, and the top is gray. And then if you scroll up, it kind of takes you through the next 24 hours, or even longer than that, and it goes through all the colors of what the
You know what I like about it?
And it tells you the temperature on the screen, and it tells you also tells you what the weather is. You, if you scroll down, it gives you a 3-day forecast. And if you scroll sideways, it can be different
cities. You can choose different cities.
Yeah.
This app does what the best apps out there do. And it's because it's simple. It's simple and it's elegant. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. they're not trying to do a million different things with it. It's really just a very simple, classy-looking app.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, you know, companies that create apps.
Yeah, it's
like
it's very beautiful. It's a beautiful app.
And it's peaceful. Yeah. Like, if you're looking at the... And if it's something you use all the time, you're going to know the gradients.
All they need is, like,
you know?
Some sort of, like... ambient music to go along with it.
No, they just need the ability to actually control the sun. So you can say, you can go, okay, I want it to be warmer. And all of a sudden it's warmer outside.
That's not okay.
But what if it controlled your air conditioning in the house?
That's okay.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Not controlling the sun. That's not okay.
I don't like that.
All right, so
controlling the moon is where it's at, because that's where gravity comes from. And if you can control that, maybe people could fly.
Maybe. I think we should try it. We should strive for that. We should strive for people flying.
Mm-hmm. Like, and we'll call that app the R. Kelly app.
You believe?
I believe. No, I'm sorry.
So Solar, S-O-L-A-R.
Yes.
In the app store.
Mm-hmm.
Music. Music? Was it? I mean, I'm feeling like a little blank on the music scene, Jamie D. Fill me in.
I've got a good music tip. Elton John. Classic Elton John.
The classic John of the Eltons.
He has a new album out. I don't know if it's out in the United States yet. It's certainly out in the UK. But he is never... really allowed people to remix his music.
Right, for like rap songs or hip-hop or any of that stuff.
Right, you know, I mean, you know, he's guested on songs and stuff, but he commissioned this Australian electronic duo. I don't know how to say their name. It's P-N-A-U. Panau?
Panu?
Maybe, it might just be Now with a
silent P?
Yeah. But...
like James Duner with the silent P?
Correct. James Paduner. But anyway, he got these guys to remix a bunch of his early 70s songs. There's 8 of them. Stuff that you wouldn't know unless you're a diehard
Elton John fan.
Like really diehard, like really early stuff.
Yeah.
But it's really good. It's very summery. Although there's some of it that sounds almost like Pink Floyd-y.
Interesting.
It's very...
Is it because the original music is very 70s kind of...
I don't know. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, like, you can definitely feel the 70s part of it, but it almost, like,
you can always
of it
feel
sounds
70s,
like
Jamie.
Scott is currently doing the Saturday Night Fever.
That's not true.
Disco dance.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That was late 70s, too. I wouldn't know. That's really encompassing the 70s at a late point. It's like saying the 90s was all about Limp Bizkit. Scott.
Right.
You're really pigeonholing the entire decade.
I did my disco duck, you know, impression.
Anyway, he it's really interesting. Some of it reminds me of like some Daft Punk-y kind of stuff, like more like the One More Time.
Yeah.
Like that, or like Junior Senior. I don't know if you remember those guys.
I don't remember.
Very light and summery. And then there's other stuff that's a little more heavy.
But you really like it, right?
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not, I'd be the last person in the world to go out and buy a new Elton John album, but this is really good.
What's the name of the album?
It's Elton John versus Panau, P-N-A-U. Oh.
And where did you listen to it?
And I guess the whole album's called Good Morning to the Night. I got an advance copy.
Okay, gotcha.
Through work.
Okay. So it'll be out somewhere soon.
Yeah.
Or if you have access to an Amazon.
It's out in the UK already.
Account.
It's actually the number one album in the UK right now. It is the first number one album for Elton John in 22 years.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Well, if you are like me and can hack into the Amazon UK streaming site, go for it. I mean, what? I didn't.
What are you talking about?
I can't do that. I don't know. Never mind. Cool. That's cool. I can't wait to listen to it. We will, if I can find a link to it somewhere, I will get a link to it and we can,
it's good. I think you'll like it, Scott. I think our buddy Mike would like it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's
not for everybody.
I wouldn't say it's for everyone,
but worth checking out.
And it's not like I've heard a lot better electronic DJ stuff, but it's just really, it's nice. I like it. It's good.
Cool. Nice. I will be listening to it soon. So in the movie world, the world of the movies,
mm-hmm.
little tiny indie movie came out this week. I don't know if you people have heard of it. What is it called? The
Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight. Yes. Right. The Dark Knight.
Right.
Batman. New Batman flick.
Yeah.
And some craziness with the release of it. Some tragedy, which was pretty nasty.
Terrible.
Happened
that was
on
terrible.
Opening day.
Yeah.
Pretty horrible. You know, like that's you had said something interesting about that. So I mean, I'm sure everybody out there knows what happened. A gunman opened fire in Colorado in the midnight showing of The Dark Knight.
Killed 12 people, injured
a lot.
I think 70 people.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, crazy. But you know, you were saying that it affected you on a level because that's like what we do, like the movie geeks and
yeah,
stuff
I
like
mean,
that.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I'm certainly someone who's been to midnight screenings.
On a regular basis, used to.
I mean, since I was old enough to be able to go to a midnight screening without getting grounded.
Right, right. I mean, like that hardcore midnight movie community that we're a part of, that was those people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was tough to hear and see and crazy.
Yeah.
There are crazy people in this world, you know?
And yeah, really, really terrible, really terrible. Terrible thing. There's no explanation for something like that.
No, not at all. And the guy was arraigned the other day, and you know, we'll see how that trial goes. He didn't, you know, I think he pleaded guilty from what I understand. So we went to a show, not a midnight show, of The Dark Knight.
Yes.
So we saw the epic conclusion of the Batman Christopher Nolan trilogy.
The Dark Knight Trilogy.
The Dark Knight Trilogy. Is that what it's called? Officially?
I think so. Yeah,
the Dark Knight Trilogy. Pretty darn good movie.
I enjoyed it.
I would have to say.
I have a question. I think we already talked about this, but let's talk about it.
Did we? I don't remember.
Over a public forum. Did you find yourself, because of what happened in Colorado, taken out of the movie for a little while?
At one point, I kind of freaked out a little bit internally.
Yeah,
I really did. Like, I was sitting there watching it, and for some reason, it totally crept into my mind.
Yeah,
and I was just like looking around, and like,
did you notice all the
security
at the
walking up
theater.
And down?
Yeah, constantly.
During the movie.
Yeah,
yep. I did notice that. I actually appreciated it.
Yeah,
it made me feel safer.
Right.
You know, I mean, even though they were just teenagers with light sticks, but still,
yeah,
it just makes that presence made a difference. But did it take you out of it?
At a certain
point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
Not the whole time.
More than once, but like certainly at the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe me too in the beginning and then somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
There was a point where it just...
I think it was just any big sort of scene, where there was lots of like shooting going on and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of thought about it.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was... I really enjoyed the movie. I mean, I thought it was a really, really good movie.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I would say out of the three movies, it's probably my least favorite of the three of them.
But that's
not saying a whole... But
better,
you know,
than a lot of other movies out
there. Yeah, that's like saying, yeah, but Return of the Jedi is my least favorite. Like,
right.
I still love
Return
of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't know which of the Lord of the Rings is my least favorite. Those are all pretty good.
Yeah, those are all pretty... I would say almost maybe the first one. I don't know. They're all good.
They're all really good.
They're all really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this was an excellent movie. It was a lengthy movie.
Yes.
2 hours, 45 minutes without previews. So you're in the theater for over 3 hours.
It didn't feel that long to me though.
It didn't feel that long. Here's like, I wasn't bored. This is what I've said to everybody. Like, I wasn't bored. I wasn't looking at my watch. I just felt the length because I was sitting in that movie theater for so long.
Uh-huh.
Like, my body felt the length, you know, my mind didn't.
Your body felt the length.
That is right, Jamie.
Interesting.
We're going to continue on the movie conversation. But I, you know, it was just, I don't know, man. It was cool. It was an epic drama. As you said,
I was saying that the Dark Knight movies aren't really superhero movies. They're crime dramas.
Right.
Because it's not someone with special powers. It's someone who's really
a detective, a vigilante detective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is what Batman always has been. And by grounding it in this somewhat real
world. I think that's why, because for me, the crime itself that was happening in the movie was not as compelling as it had been in the last two.
Mm.
Like the sort of Bane thing, as physically imposing as he was not terribly psychologically imposing.
Right. It was more physical than like the Joker or like the Scarecrow.
Scarecrow.
Yeah. It was
like that one. Do you remember how crazy? I think the first movie might be the darkest out of the three of them, with all the hallucinatory stuff.
Yeah,
and it was crazy.
Like the bat coming out.
Remember like that scene where like the bat flies over and the people are seeing it and it looks like it's on fire.
Yeah,
and it's really dark.
No, I totally.
I mean, the Joker one was super dark too.
I mean, they all were, but yeah, this was more of that physical. But
biggest complaint, Scott, about the Dark Knight.
That we saw?
Yeah.
Or the movie in general?
Both.
Okay, the movie that we saw was the loudest movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
In that theater, they had the volume cranked so high up, and I can handle loud normally. It affected me the next day.
I needed earplugs.
Yeah, I mean, your wife was like holding her ears.
Yeah.
You know, like...
She was, but she had a smile on her face.
Well, yeah. That's funny. And as far as like character-wise or story-wise... I don't know if I have a huge complaint.
I have one huge complaint.
Yeah? Oh, yes, I forgot.
I'm going to get you, Batman. What have I done in front of you since dawn? I am Bane.
Right?
Yeah, like, couldn't understand. I would say a quarter of what he said, I could not understand.
Yeah, you definitely lost some of his dialogue, which was difficult and... a decision they made, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Really made you realize like how integral reading people's lips is.
True.
To watching a movie.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, you're right. You know what? You're right. If that was the same exact audio while seeing his lips, you would have gotten everything he said.
Yeah.
Good point.
Look at Darth Vader. It's all about enunciation, and
they could have mixed it. It was an effect they put on it, so they could have made it so you could understand.
Darth Vader had an effect.
But you can understand.
But it was James Earl Jones enunciating perfectly.
Right. Yeah.
And there were some, at some points, because Thomas Hardy, I don't know if he's British or Australian, but he, there's some, when he was like giving the speech in front of the prison.
Yeah.
I could hear every word he said. It was very clear.
Right.
And he has a very, you know, he enunciates really well he had a British accent. And, but then occasionally his mask or whatever would be garbled.
Yeah.
Sounded like a, you know, Jack in the Box drive-through window from 1974.
I mean, maybe that was the point. Maybe they wanted that to be
Jack.
That actually he was Jack.
Right.
And this is what happened. You know, just all those years, the big white head, and you turn into Bane.
That's who is under that helmet.
Yes. nice. That's funny. It was. I highly recommend it. It's a great cap off. An aside to the movie, there was a little trailer for the new or teaser for the new Superman movie in front of this movie.
Uh-huh.
You were unimpressed.
It was just.
It wasn't much. They didn't show much.
It was a teaser. But
what I did like was that they. It seemed to be in that same vein of the Batman movies, like kind of that dark real world.
It's going to. I don't as much as I liked Superman as a kid and stuff, like I don't know how much I can get into like another superhero thing where someone has superpowers. It's hard for me to like really relate to it. I don't Spider-Man gets bit by a radioactive spider and now he can climb really fast, or in the Avengers, Thor, that's the least interesting character to me.
But I think like like a guy like, I mean, I guess Thor and Superman, they don't get powers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, they actually are aliens.
Yeah, but okay.
You know what I mean?
But so that still doesn't make it interesting to me. Why aren't people reacting to Superman as if he is an alien?
I have a feeling.
Like, people would be afraid of a guy like that.
Well, I have a feeling that maybe this take that Nolan is doing on this new Superman might.
You've got a feeling?
I'm not doing it again. I'm not doing it again. I'm sorry. It's just not happening.
Zack Snyder, meh.
Give or take, yeah. We'll see.
You know, from the trailer, it kind of looks like Terrence Malick directed it.
Yeah, it was like a Tree of Life trailer. Yeah. That's funny.
But Clark Kent is now
a fisherman
on the Deadliest Catch.
Right. I am a sucker for Superman movies.
Of course I will see it.
I'm a sucker.
But that last one was pretty bad, man.
See, I liked it. I liked it. I've watched it on cable a bunch of times. I don't see why people thought it was bad.
Because there was a lot of like, remember this? I don't think that you should do that. Well,
no, I don't think
back.
They needed to do that. But I did like there were some great sequences in that. I liked everyone's character. Like, they played the characters well.
Yeah.
I thought he was a good Clark Kent. I thought Spacey was a great Lex Luthor. You know, like, I thought they nailed the characters.
Yeah, but it's another thing. It's like, what, like, I don't know. There was a pretty good Superman movie 30 years ago. Like, why do they need to change it?
Well,
how would you feel about a new Back to the Future movie with all new people?
I would be a little upset.
Exactly.
But I don't think they need to do an origin story every time. If they wanted to continue the Back to the Future trilogy with other people and those
right.
people still existed in a different, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
like they do with James Bond.
Right.
I'm okay with that. Like, it's new
yeah,
James
they should,
Bond.
They
like,
should do that with Superman, but
it doesn't need to be every time. I don't need to see the origin.
But
like,
you're going
like
to
Spider-Man,
see that.
You know,
yeah.
like that.
I hope if they make a Hulk movie that they don't do an origin again.
Well, the last one they didn't. We talked about that. The Ed Norton one just picked up with him in the jungle trying
yeah.
to find a cure.
That's
that was
true.
Great. That was great. And I'm like, I'm all for that. All right. We're going to move into a very special segment called the food segment. And I just went and got something.
It might be too early for me to do whatever you.
You can just taste it.
Okay.
It's not. I'm not like it. You can only just taste it. To be perfectly honest, it's like a lot.
What is it?
So I was at Trader Joe's, and they had this.
Ew.
No, it's not ew. It's amazing. They had in the dessert-ish aisle, they had something called cookie butter. Jamie's like, hand that over. So cookie butter, it's like it's a spreadable gingerbreadish shortbread cookie. So it looks like a peanut butter or an almond butter or what, you know, it doesn't taste like that, but it kind of looks like that spreadable. And the way it's made, I was reading about it, is like they just finely grind and compress and crush cookies to create this spread.
I'm going to read the ingredients, okay? 57% speculoos. What the hell is speculoos? That sounds disgusting.
I don't know.
Speculoos is made from wheat flour, candy sugar, margarine, palm oil, canola oil, coconut oil, rapeseed oil. This is highly offensive. Water, salt, emulsifier, vegetable, mono, and...
You know what those ingredients sound like?
From fatty acids, it's margarine. Yeah. Citric acid, lactic acid, color added, beta carotene.
It's cookie.
Butter flavor. That's one word, butter flavor. I swear to God.
I didn't say this was healthy.
Sugar, soy flour, sugar again. Look, butter flour, sugar, soy flour, sugar, sugar syrup, raising agent. Is that like a child star's agent?
Yes.
Sodium, hydrogen, carbonate, cinnamon, nutmeg. Finally, things I recognize. Oh, wait, no, that's one word. Cinnamon, nutmeg. No, I'm joking. Palm oil, more oil, canola oil, sugar, emulsifier, rapeseed lecithin.
Listen, these are lecithin. Ingredients for cookies. If you were
what
to buy...
butter flavor? Is that like what they put on popcorn at the movies?
I don't know.
What is rapeseed?
Maybe you're pronouncing it wrong. Maybe it's
rapeseed.
Rapeseed.
I don't know.
We're gonna give it a taste on air.
Okay.
Don't take a lot because it's heavy.
You want to save it for the
No, but it is fascinating. And okay, so I have tasted already, but this is the Jamie Duner first taste.
Is this enough?
Of the yeah, probably. I don't know. You can take more if you want. It tastes good. It tastes like a cookie. Right? Tastes like a gingerbread cookie.
It tastes unnatural.
Give me this. I'm going to give it another. I only did a little taste the other day.
I mean, it's like really gross texture with a cookie aftertaste. It's a gross texture.
It is a gross texture. But you're not really supposed to just dig into it. I mean, it's spreadable, for so it's like you put it on different things like fruit or whatever. I took too much.
It's kind of gross, man.
But it tastes... I took too much in one spoonful. It tastes like a gingerbread cookie or a graham cracker cookie. Just a spoonful. Don't you think?
I might be sick now.
Oh, come on. You just took a little taste.
It's gross, though.
Not gross. It is delicious.
It is like... But the texture is like mud and lard mixed together.
I imagine, if you will, spreading it on some sort of
boob.
Toasted bread. Or that.
A boob cookie.
Hey. You know what? The guy at the store actually told me that if you take it and heat it up, it kind of liquefies and then like dip fruit in it, like a chocolate dipped strawberry. It turns into like a cookie coat. No, and then it hardens like a cookie coated strawberry. That sounds amazing.
You can try that. I will be.
Wow. I am amazed at your.
Why can't? Because it's gross.
Your hatred of the cookie butter.
It's gross.
It is amazing and fascinating.
It's gross. Why don't you just eat a cookie and a strawberry beside each other? Why do you have to dip it in?
Why do you have to dip a cookie in milk?
That's totally different.
Why?
Because
milk is its own thing. Why can't you just drink some milk and eat a cookie?
Cookies exist without being ground into a spread and filled with other oils, so
you
that
you
can
do
this
many
disgusting
things with the cookie butter. You can use it in everything.
But why do you need to?
Because it tastes good.
It doesn't taste that
it
good.
It does taste good.
It doesn't taste that good.
I am a big fan.
It's sort of like the flavoring of when they flavor coffee. It's sort of like, does gingerbread latte taste good? Sure. But does it taste better than a gingerbread cookie? No.
Debatable.
That is absolutely not debatable.
I would debate that point because I love gingerbread lattes.
Well, you are wrong. Judgment is you're
Judgment's
wrong.
Judgment's made. A deliciously unusual spread reminiscent of gingerbread and made with crushed biscuits. That's right.
That's what the tagline is on the jar.
Speculous cookie butter.
Speculous.
I love it. And
I don't like the
love it or hate it. I guess it's a love it or hate it.
It's a hate it or hate it.
It is not a hate it or hate it.
You don't like taking a big scoop of it. You kind of hate it.
No, I would like putting it on something. I don't think.
What have you
I don't
tried
like
putting it on something yet? You should buy a piece of bread and toast it, or put it on a bagel, or make your magical berry concoction.
This will happen. I just got it.
Yeah, I got it too. It is disgusting.
All I know is I am told from the Trader Joe's staff that it is one of their most popular items. Many people buy it and rebuy it, and they sell out. That's all I'm saying. That is all I'm saying.
Well, many people
The people
are
have
wrong.
Spoken, Jamie.
The people have not spoken.
The cookie people have spoken. And I lead the cookie people. Long live the cookie.
I like cookies. Cookie butter.
Long live anything cookie related.
It's dried my mouth out. It's gross.
Well, folks at home, you can try for yourself. Trader Joe's cookie butter.
Speculous.
Delicious cookie butter.
Amazing. Rape seed oil.
Cookie. spreadable cookie. It's like living the dream, man. It's like living the dream.
Spreadable cookie. That's just, that doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right.
Unless it cookie sounds- is a stripper.
Ooh.
That might have to get beeped out.
I don't know. That's skirting the line. It's skirting the line of family-friendly show hurt.
Stripper, it's not skirting anything.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, that is what's going to take us out of the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Check us out in all our electronic forms. I am Scott. Those kind of forms. At Scotty G7.
You're an Android person.
Yes, I am. Exactly. At Scotty G7.
At BSTRDMONKEY, which I never use to tweet anything.
You should tweet every now and then.
I do, but it's not, it's never, I'm not a good tweeter.
People bombard Jamie D with requests to tweet because he is a funny man, and we would love to see him tweet.
Don't do that.
Yes.
I will be the Twitter equivalent of cookie butter.
I don't know what that means exactly.
I will be speculous.
Oh, now I understand. Stitcher and iTunes and techbacon.net, all of those fun places. Anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find Tech Bacon. So once again, thanks for listening. Have a wonderful week.